the Free Beer and Hot Wings Show free clip of the day.
Yesterday during segment 17, the bonus podcast for Fancy Idiots, full and uncut conversation with the one and only Bill Burr. And I can't wait for you to hear how awkward Joe gets when we bring up something
yes.
he did. Bill Burr joins us. Bill, welcome to the Free Beer and Hot Wings Show in the middle of a massive tour. Congratulations on the continued success. F is for family. And in all the acting gigs, we were just talking about how much we like Bill Burr, the actor. And I'm starting to go, ooh, Bill Burr's in this. I'm going to like this.
Yeah.
That's
Which
awesome.
And also Bill Burr, the writer. I was listening to your podcast before I came to the show this morning. What script are you rewriting right now?
Oh, I wrote a movie with a buddy of mine, and we're getting ready to send it out. Hopefully someone will buy it, and they buy it, then we can go make it. But we just had to tighten it up. It was a little too long, you know, just had to knock off like 15, 20 pages, which is a giant pain in the ass. But that's been my week. That's what I have to look forward to all day today, all day tomorrow, and into Thursday.
That sounds like a real joy.
Seriously. So I guess that's probably
yeah,
not as easy.
Your brain definitely gets fried. And I tell you, that's why I had to quit drinking, because, you know, just being in a writer's room, you know, when we were doing efforts for family, just thinking all day like that, like I wasn't seasoned as a writer. And I learned from the more seasoned writers that you take mental breaks during the day. Like I would see one guy, he would just sit there and he would be like staring at the floor. I'd be like, is this guy going to fall asleep? He wouldn't say anything for like 40 minutes. And all of a sudden his head would come up and he would just like blurt out like a page and a half. I was like, oh, I get this. You can take breaks and let other people carry the rock for a minute. And
you can
I
do
used
that.
To sit there the whole day trying to carry the rock. And I'd come home and I would just be staring at the wall. So the bourbon started flowing. So
yeah, you could get all right.
That back.
On F is for Family, are you like the head writer, showrunner? Do you have to deal with all of that, or are you just one of
no,
the writers?
Thank God, that is the co-creator of the show, the great Mike Price from The Simpsons. So he handles all of that stuff, and he like really. Like, he loves it, man. Like, that is totally his element. And he has such a great disposition to handle the pressures of that job and, like, the notes and all of that type of stuff. So if you're smart, you delegate out your weaknesses. So I couldn't have done the show without him.
Bill Burr with us. And it probably makes a difference. I'm guessing, you know, you've been doing, you know, stand-up and everything for a long time. But you want some insulation to keep the part that's fun so that you can look forward to that rather than just banging your head on the wall.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a big part of me. You know, on bad days, like, you know, when you're writing it or you're sitting on an acting set for like 16 hours, you just think to yourself, why the hell don't I just keep telling jokes, you know?
Yeah.
Do a podcast, tell my jokes, live in the middle of nowhere. Why don't I just do that? But then, you know, the project is complete and then it's coming out and you get excited and all that stuff. So it's the usual, mental tenets you play.
Bill Burr with us. He's on a massive national tour coming to lots and lots of places where this show is heard. BillBurr.com. Lots of them sold out, so you're going to be buying secondhand tickets. Bill, I'm going to surprise our co-host Joe a little bit with this. I want to have Joe tell you what he did to a comedian I'm 99.9% sure you know, Mark Norman, someone we're a big fan of. And Joe didn't mean it bad.
He's one of the best joke writers out there.
He
Absolutely.
Is amazing. But Joe, you had an interaction with him. He happened to be in town, and I will say this in advance. Joe meant not to, it wasn't meant to be like, hey, don't forget that time you did a really crappy show, but we're wondering if that's how Mark might have taken it.
Yeah, I'm not, it was his, the Saturday Late Show, and, my group, we were kind of towards the end of the line, and now, the first time I had ever seen him, it was at that same club, and I'd seen him since, so I'd seen his specials. I'm a huge fan, but the first time I ever saw him,
wow,
I didn't know.
You said something really bad to him. You got to preface it that way.
Yeah,
Lord.
Right? I know, right? He hears it.
Fan. I think he's a good-looking guy. I cast him in something. So anyway, yeah. I walk up to the guy, and I say...
Man, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, you're towards the back of the line on the third show. I know exactly the person you are.
Oh, man. No.
He
knows who you are.
So you had the time to say what you wanted to say to him.
Okay,
what
fine.
Did you say?
All right, Bill. This is what happened. The first time I saw him, it was terrible. He was working out a bit about obese people, and it just so happened that in the front row was... outside of the channel TLC, the most obese person I've ever seen in my life. And he bombed hard. And I already knew because my friend had been hanging out in the green room with him.
That obese person was probably trying to make it to the first show. That's just how long it took him to get there.
All right. All right.
That's
so,
a good joke.
So listen. So, okay. I just said, hey, man, you're really funny. Congrats on all the success. By the way, I saw you that night. My buddy Carl, he said that was the worst you'd ever bought. Oh, Jesus. This sounds really bad. I just said, man, that was so awkward. It was like watching Curb Your Enthusiasm live, and I'd almost pay to see it again. For that reason.
That's not bad.
Yeah, right. Okay,
I wouldn't think
there
that would be that bad because he's had all the success he's had. He probably tells the story of that show.
Well, he just said, yeah, that bit does better now. And so I don't think I hurt his feelings. I just think he was exhausted.
And you didn't mean to, because you were,
I'm sure you didn't hurt his feelings. You probably came up, I don't know. But I'm sure you didn't say it the way he just said it. To me, because you had too many pauses and too many, like, trying to, like, reframe what you said. I'm sure you said it in a much worse way than that. But he's a pro. I'm sure he shook it off. And then, you know what? You're probably now part of the story when he talks about that.
Well, sincerely doubt it.
And then a year later, this jerk-off came up to me.
That would be wild to find out that you're the jerk off in a tag on a story.
I hope to be one day. If it's someone who I admire, if it's their story, I'll be a jerk off anytime. All right, Bill, you said I know exactly who you are. Who were you thinking?
You.
Don't say me.
Well,
come on.
There's always the person that they, on purpose, they want to be the last person so they can talk to you longer.
Right.
And that could mean they're a huge fan, or it could mean they absolutely hated you. But either way, they're slightly crazy. And you see them coming. And you see the look on their face. You don't see them coming early in your career, but as you get a little more seasoned, you're like, okay, that's that person. You know, they've got a piece of artwork that they made for you, or they got steam coming out of their ears. Yeah, so what you do is at that point, you nudge whoever is with you. You just say, all right, that's the psycho right there. Okay? When this person starts talking to you, me, say, Bill, we need you to sign that thing or something like that. I learned that trick from Dana Gould. Like, hey, Bill, you got to sign this thing. And he got me out of this. I was doing some gig. First time I worked with him in upstate New York. This person wouldn't stop talking to me. And I was so polite and, like, innocent, I didn't know how to get out of it. Like, you really need to develop your wrap-it-up skills. Like, I always stick my hand out and just go, listen, I'm glad you enjoyed the show, but blah, 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 blah. I get it. You know, you get it. You get the ball start to roll downhill. And then if they don't leave, then you just look at somebody else's friend like, good Lord, how many hints do I got to give this guy? Is he always like this? Then they laugh at him, and you're able to get out of it, hopefully.
That's the beauty of working with an ensemble is you go, hey, have you talked to Steve yet? Yes. He's right over there.
Joe is the king of sicking that person.
The other thing is then it becomes like, yeah, the What About Bob audience member that you're trying to pass off to another comic. Yeah. You can have a lot of fun with all of that stuff. But like, it all depends. But if they're actually legit mad, you know, I remember this woman in Atlanta, she got all upset at me about the joke I was doing about my pit bull, and she was saying, she goes, you know, just to let you know, I am a card-carrying member of PETA. And I was like, oh, wow. I go, how many years of school did that take? Like, all you got to do is sign up. Stop acting like you got a degree. And she got all mad at me. And like, it's like you're yelling at me because I rescued a dog. And the thing is out of its mind, and it's trying to eat my friends. I mean, that's I'm sorry you don't like that that's the way the dog is, but that is the way the dog is. Blow $10,000 on a trainer.
Oh, no. Yeah, you could have just paid for one at that point.
Hey, Bill, we just saw the video of I don't know what game it was that you were at, the football game, where one guy was standing and he happened to be in front of you. I think it was on TikTok or whatever that we saw that last week. I don't know when that happened, but when we watched that, I thought
that always happens.
Did that guy
with the Rose Bowl that happened to me when I was in Tampa? There's always that idiot who just is going to stand. He turn around. If he's going, sit down. He's looking back. He's like, come on, let's go. Let's go. It's like, where are we going? We're literally in the lower bowl. Sit down. There's nobody in front of you, and you're just standing up, and he thinks that it's because, you know, he's a bigger fan. It's like, well, no, you're an ass.
Yeah.
So he never became self-aware, and no matter what you guys did, no matter how much you guys laughed behind him.
No, the one in Tampa escalated, and it was this older guy started kind of trying to throw hands, but, you know, it was old. Look at his grandson pulled him away. That happened there. And then the guy in front of me at the Rose Bowl was just, like, super hammered, and he sounded like Cajun or something. So I'm like, I just remembered Powers Booth in Southern Comfort. So I'm like, I'm not messing with this guy. But
he tried to offer me
a drink, you know, because he knew that I was upset with him. And I swear to God, dude, it looked like an IV bag. Like, he had snuck in this booth.
Oh, yeah, we saw it, man. It was all filmed.
That's unbelievable.
It was all on film. How was there film of that? Somebody animated it?
No, right? Video. No. What?
Somebody was recording with their phone. We saw it that day.
Yeah, I still say film. Sometimes, it wasn't a Super 8, but someone had a phone out. My bad.
Oh, that was the Rose Bowl. That guy. That guy was like swaying in the breeze drunk, but I also know I don't know how to slip a punch, and if that guy hit me, it's not going to be a good thing.
No, he was big, man.
One of those tree stump guys.
He is. Well, Bill's coming to a whole bunch of towns. You need to go see BillBurr.com, watch F is for Family, and keep an eye out for maybe Bill Burr in the next season of The Mandalorian and a bunch of other places, too.
Oh, one more thing, man.
The reboot of Little House on the Prairie. You never know where I'm going
to
be.
Oh, nice. Are you playing Laura?
Or are you going to work blind and go marry?
I'm playing the blind kid. Well, eventually that kid went blind, and then the two of them were both blind.
Yeah.
It was like a big thing back then. Yeah.
Everyone was doing it.
Everyone.
And I get all my history of the United States from Little House on the Prairie.
Hey, that's...
Bill, thanks for joining us as always, man. Continued success.
All right, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bill. Right,
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, he's great. I was confused as how he didn't understand how he...
We were just talking about that.
How we saw that video that was recorded and placed on social media.
Yeah, I thought he posted it.
I'm like, I thought your friend filmed it.
Because he did. This was last week, and my brain is filled with holes, I guess. But I thought he turned to the dude and went, you got that on camera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how did?
I love that guy.
He's fun.
We did it. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
God, that F is for Family. That's the theme that you did. The song you just heard is the F is for Family theme. And the opening, just the opening to that show is so funny and just so to the point. Like, you know exactly what that show is about by the end of the opening credits. It's him. Every life is looking great. And then he joins the military. He's jumping out of a plane. And babies hit him in the face. His college degree flies away. He ends up working. He ends up with three kids. Life is hell. It's a really funny show, needless to say.
Idiots get access to the podcast, segment 17, and watch the webcams. You can be an idiot, too. Sign up at freebeerandhotwings.com.